Good to see everyone tonight. I've got one announcement to make before I begin my lesson. Debbie and I just learned before services that Annalise Friday morning had extensive test run in regards to her growth, and it was determined that her body's not producing growth hormones, and so they want to begin hormone treatment. But one thing that could possibly be preventing those hormones is a brain tumor. So they're going to have to run an MRI to be sure there isn't a brain tumor, and then they'll be able to go ahead with the hormone treatment. So that's not to say that she does have a brain tumor or that they think she has a brain tumor. They're just saying that's one thing that could be preventing the hormones from doing what they're doing, so they're not going to start the treatments until they find out, until they eliminate that that's a possibility, okay? But nevertheless, it is a possibility, so it is a concern to us. All right, so tonight I want to present a lesson on patience, endurance, and focus upon two particular aspects of that, and that is when and why are we to be patient? Why are we to endure? Probably one of the most familiar passages in regards to this subject is found in James chapter 5 and verses 7 through 11. You'll recognize it right away. He says, "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." You'll notice that the particular point that James is making here from the very beginning, here in verse 7, is be patient until the coming of the Lord. It was hard to be a Christian in the first century. A lot of persecution, a lot of trials. That's not to say it's easy today. Life gets tedious, doesn't it? We go all summer and complain about how hot it is, and we get a couple of days of winter, and we start singing about happy summer land of bliss. Just a joke. But life does have its trials, and we do begin to look for the coming of the Lord. We know there's something better beyond this life. Not to say that this life is that bad, if we would just stop to count our blessings and be thankful for what we have. But he says, so you also, just like the farmers are patient, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Don't doubt this. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endured. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord was very compassionate and merciful. Notice here that throughout this passage, these verses, he talks about patience and how that patience is waiting and waiting patiently and endurance and to persevere. You'll notice also that he presents to us the examples of the farmer who waits patiently for the early and the latter rain. He does all he can to prepare the ground and plant the seed, but then he's dependent upon nature to take over, and that the rains come at the right time and the temperatures be at the right place and all of those things. He has to wait for that. He has to be patient waiting for that harvest. The prophets he speaks of and how that they were frustrated so many times. Some of the prophets are even told, God told them to go and to prophesy to the people, but they're not going to listen to you. How? How depressing would that be? It's depressing enough when you don't know whether or not they're going to listen or not. But he says, you take them as an example of patience and endurance. You've heard of the perseverance of Job. And certainly he's a great example at the whole story of Job and how that Job endured the trials, not only of the losing of his children and his possessions and his health, but also of the confidence of his quote-unquote friends. When are we to be patient? We are to be patient when circumstances are uncontrollable. James 5 and verse 7 says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives that early and latter rain." And so, although the farmers work diligently so that they might have a harvest, they must wait in these matters that are beyond their control before the harvest is realized. So also, we must wait in matters that are beyond our control, in circumstances that we find in our life. We long for the coming of the Lord and an eternal abode or an eternal home in His presence. But we have to wait, don't we? We have to endure. We have to bear the fruit of the Spirit in the meantime. While we labor in His kingdom here, we must accept the fact that many things are beyond our control. We must be patient. We indeed want to be with the Lord hereafter. But we need to be patient and be certain that we are with the Lord here as we continue in His Word and glorify Him. We are to be patient when people are unchangeable. We talked about the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Well, the prophets of old prophesied to the children of Israel, trying to persuade them to turn back to God and to be faithful to Him. But sometimes it worked. Most of the time, it seems like it didn't. The prophets are an example to us of how we must be patient when we are trying to do right, while those around us seem not to care and do not respond. You know, as you think about that, you recognize that there's certainly people that we go to work with, people that are friends, that we wish would be Christians, but it seems like they have no desire to live for Christ. There are maybe family members that certainly we would like to see living faithfully before the Lord, but they're not. They've chosen not to. We might pray for them. We might do all we can. But they've made up their mind, it seems, that at least at this present time, they're going to do what they want to do rather than what the Lord wants them to do. That doesn't mean that we give up on them, but it means that this is a time when we need to be patient, when we must endure, that they are at the present unchangeable. That doesn't mean that we should not expect them to change. We shouldn't give up. We never know what circumstances or will change the way they're thinking and might turn them to the Lord. But at the same time, we shouldn't be so narrow-minded or narrow-focused that those are the only people that we're focused on to share the gospel with, to bring to Christ. You know, the apostles, as they went into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature, they went into towns and had success with some of the people, but you remember that in many of those towns there were leaderships and those that were there that turned the rest of the people against them to the point to where they absolutely had to leave the town. Persecution was brought against them. But you remember also that there were those occasions where the apostles shook the dust off of their clothes or off of their feet and saying, your blood's on your own heads. We've told you the truth. It's up to you. There's nothing else we can say. There's nothing else we can do. We need to move on to other people in other places. And you and I sometimes need to, you know, although we might be focused on a particular individual or individuals, we need to keep our vision open, opportunities open. We need to strive to make opportunities to share the gospel with whoever, whenever. But we're still patient with those ones that we care so much about. We're going to endure. We're not going to do the wrong thing. We're not going to write them off. But we're going to continue to share the gospel with them as well. We need to be patient when problems are unexplainable. In James 5 and verse 11, once again, he says, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job. You know, Job's problems were unexplainable to Job and his friends. Now, they thought they had it all figured out. They thought that bad things happen to people because people have done bad things. That it's God's way of trying to correct them, showing them where they're wrong. God doesn't work that way. God doesn't work through innuendo. God shows us plainly where we're wrong. If we have sinned, His Word will convict us of sin. Not a traffic accident. Not an illness. Not bad weather. God's Word shows us where we're wrong. I was talking to someone this week, and they were talking about a friend that had something happen to them in their life and so forth, and they'd lost the use of their legs. And they said, I don't know why God would take the use of my legs away from me. I said, why is it that every time something bad happens, God gets blamed for it? God doesn't do that. God doesn't bring bad things into people's lives. God doesn't do that. God is the giver of every good and perfect thing. Everything that's bad in this world and in this life is because of Satan and his influence. If it was up to Satan, he would take the sun out of the sky. If it was up to Satan, there wouldn't be any warmth. If it was up to Satan, there wouldn't be anybody well. If it was up to Satan, there wouldn't be anything to eat. If it was up to Satan, there wouldn't be anybody who would love anybody. And so the next time that you have ill feelings towards someone, the next time you start having a pity party for yourself, think about Job. And Job and his friends blamed God for what was happening to Job. The story of Job is that Satan brought all those things upon Job. And I said, well, God allowed Satan to do it because God knew the strength of Job. You see, Job's life, like your life and my life, is not about Job being happy. Job's life, like your life and my life, is about Job living to the glory of God. Always being strong and always keeping the faith. Not doing like Job's wife wanted Job to do and curse God and die, but to always be faithful. Job would declare, even if God was to slay me, I will not deny him. Amen. And in so doing, he brought honor and glory to God. Now, Job, to some degree, tested the patience of God. You know, when Job started to reason these things out with God, God said, wait a minute here, son. You tell me how I did all of this, and then I'll tell you why all this happened. He put Job in the right place. You're not the creator, Job. It's not up to you to figure all this out. It's just up to you to revere God and keep His commandments. Regardless. Kind of like Paul, when he had his thorn in the flesh. God said, look, my grace is sufficient for you, isn't it? You've been saved. You, the worst of all sinners, as you described yourself, and you've got an inheritance with me in eternity, and you're complaining about a thorn in the flesh? Better back up, son. And not, that's not to say that Paul's thorn in the flesh wasn't something serious. It's not to say that the problems that Job was facing were serious. More, perhaps, than you and I could bear. But God calls upon us to endure, to continue to be faithful, and to glorify Him. We might not understand the intricacies of the problems that we face in life, but we can be sure that when God is silent, we must be patient. When God is silent, He's really said an awful lot to us, hasn't He? We might say, well, I don't understand why this is happening to me, and yet God has told us that there's nothing in particular that's happened to you that hasn't happened to other people. Now, it might seem like it. But you can endure this. God knew that Job could persevere. And God knows that we can persevere. God might, like with Job, lower offense and allow Satan to get at us. But God knows that we can endure, that we can honor Him and glorify Him. I must not try to speak for God when God has not spoken. You know, so many times we make the mistake of Job and his friends when we say that this happened or that happened because God was trying to snatch me back into reality. No, no. Let God speak for Himself. Don't make the mistake that Job and his friends made. I must trust God when I do not know the whys. I know what He wants. And when I'm in trouble in my life, and when things are amiss in my life and a complete mess in my life, I need to let God still be in control of my life and always do what He says and honor Him and glorify Him in what I'm doing and what I'm saying. Have you noticed what He goes on to say here? You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. What was the end intended by the Lord? Well, look at the rest of the verse. That the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. What was the end of Job's trials? He was victorious. And all that he lost was restored to him. And more. So that's, we should always be patient. We should always endure our trials, our tribulations, the things that we suffer, even our questions, we need to endure them. But why? Why should we be patient? Because God is in control. Again, we go back to James 5 and look at verse 8. He says, you also be patient, establish your hearts, you persevere, establish your hearts, don't be swayed off of the foundation of your faith. The coming of the Lord is at hand. I mean, that's the end of the whole product. Whether you live your whole life without ever having any problem in your life, You're never uncomfortable. You always have plenty of food to eat, good food to eat, all the kind of food you want to eat. You're always healthy. You always have all the money that you want. You've got everything. Or if you're unhealthy your whole life, you don't have any money. You don't have anything to eat. Regardless of which end of the spectrum you're on, both are looking to the coming of the Lord, aren't they? Endure to the end. Don't be moved off the foundation of your faith. James mentioned the Lord is coming back three times in these few verses. The second coming of Christ is the ultimate proof that God is in control, and it's what we, each and every one of us, are looking forward to. It matters not about headlines or misguided and frantic speculation. God is in control. Doesn't matter who's the president or who's in control of government. Doesn't matter if the stock market is up or down. It doesn't matter who has the nuclear weapons or doesn't have the nuclear. It doesn't matter who is the military superpower. We need to always remember that God is in control and He is coming back. The coming of the Lord is certain. The coming of the Lord is certain. And we need to be certain that we're ready for His coming. We need to be patient because God rewards those who are patient. Again, we come back to James 5, verse 11. It says, "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure." It is much more profitable to be patient than to be impatient. Patience will bring you honor in the eyes of others, and especially in the eyes of God. Personal relationships grow strong when patience is evident in one's character. You know, when people see you enduring a difficult situation, it encourages others to endure a difficult situation. Sometimes you might be in a relationship with someone and that relationship is fractured. It becomes difficult. Now, in such relationships, it seems that the human nature is to completely dissolve the relationship, to walk away from it, to give up. That's what Satan would have us to do. Satan would have us to take the easy way out. What if God would have taken the easy way out? What if God, desiring to be in a relationship with us and us desiring to be in a relationship with Him, but also wanting to do what we want to do whenever we want to do it, which means transgress His will. What if God just gave up on us? That's the way man has always been. That's the way man will always be. I don't know why I should send my only begotten Son to die for them. What if He would have just given up? What if He didn't teach us, the faithful, to bear with unfaithful Christians? What if God told us, you know, if you got a brother or sister in the faith who denies the faith, they're worse than an infidel, that you just give up on them. Write them off, forget about them. Is that what He teaches us to do? He tells us to bear with the weak, to be patient with all. God says, you just keep loving them. Because, you know, the answer to this fractured relationship is not you contributing to the fracture by saying, okay, I'm done with you. The answer to the fractured relationship is you saying, I'm not going to quit. I love you. I'm going to do the right thing by you, regardless of what you do to me. Because, you see, evil doesn't overcome evil. Good overcomes evil. So we have to do the right thing. Just like God has done the right thing toward us, the loving thing towards us, we need to do the loving thing towards those who mistreat us. You know, and it's very possible that display of patience or endurance is going to be the one thing that's going to change that fractured relationship. Realizing that you never gave up on me. You never gave up on us. Every time you are patient, every time you endure, you enrich your own life. Regardless of what the other person does, you might always do the right thing, the loving thing, and it just be not be appreciated at all by the one you're acting lovingly towards. But you know what? You know you're doing the right thing. You've got a good feeling about you. You know that you're doing what God has instructed you to do. You know you're a child of God. You know you're living to His glory. And you've got every reason to rejoice in that. You have seen the end intended by the Lord. You see, we should be patient because God is working it out. And if we stop being patient, God can't work it out. Have you ever thought about that? For God to work it out, we have to endure. We have to keep doing the right thing. Not questioning God, but trusting God and obeying Him. We need to remember this point as we face an uncontrollable circumstance. Sometimes things happen we don't have any control over at all. But we need to see that God is in control. We need to remember this point when we face an unchangeable person or unchangeable, unexplainable problems. God is still working it out. But He can only work it out as long as we are patient. And as long as we endure. You've seen the end intended by the Lord. What is the end intended by the Lord? We mentioned it earlier. The Lord is very compassionate and merciful. You see, for us to endure, for us to be patient, we have to be like the Lord. As the Lord teaches us, we need to be compassionate and merciful. And perhaps when people see that compassion and mercy coming from us and they realize the reason we're compassionate and merciful is because God has been compassionate and merciful and God wants to be compassionate and merciful towards you, that they'll behold the compassion and the mercy of God. And what we desire and what God desires will be realized. But even if not, the compassion and the mercy of God will be evident. Will be evident. Even if people don't appreciate it, it'll still be evident. And you know, with God, that's really all that matters. That we revere Him and keep His commandments and live to His glory. So as we come back and we look at this text once again, we've noticed here that at the beginning of the lesson, how he talks about the farmer and the prophets and Job, and how indeed these are very fitting examples of people who have been patient. The farmer, the prophets, and Job. But they're examples. They're examples to encourage us. He says, brethren, you also be patient. You also endure. These aren't just nice examples and illustrations and stories. This is real life, people. This is real life. And you're part of it. And just as we celebrate Job and the prophets, God celebrates us when we endure to the end. Patience, endurance. Not going to quit, not going to change, not going to do something else. I'm always going to do what God tells me to do. Not going to take the easy way out. I'm going to love people even when they don't love me. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, maybe you've been thinking about that. You know, he says, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The Lord is coming. The judge stands at the door. How's he judging you tonight? And if you know if he judges you condemned, you can change that sentence tonight. Just surrendering your life to him, to live for him. To really have a reason to live. You know, I pity the people that their reason to live is just to gratify passions, get more money or more power, more recognition. It seems like today it's more fame, whatever. I pity that. Because that's not what life's about. Life is about living to the glory of God. And if you realize that, and you realize that you're still living for yourself, but you want to turn to Him and live for Him so that you can live with Him here and hereafter, we'd encourage you to let it be known. Would you obey the gospel tonight? Would you come to Him? Would you let Him into your life as we stand and sing this song?